This is Lon Solomon, and I'd like to welcome you to our program today. You know, it's a tremendous honor that God has given us to be on stations all around the nation, bringing the truth of God's Word as it is, uncompromising and straightforward. And I'm so glad you've tuned in to listen and be part of that. Thanks again for your support and your generosity that keeps us on the radio. And now, let's get to the Word of God.
There are some things in life that I think are just hard to do, like getting out of bed for a 6 a.m. flight. That's hard to do. But you know what? Out of all the things in our world that are hard to do, I think maybe the hardest of all is for us to fully and freely and permanently forgive someone who's really hurt us and really hurt people that we love. And since the name of this series is From My Heart to Your Heart, I need to tell you God's been dealing with my heart on this issue. And so I thought it would be good for me to share a little bit with you what the Lord's been teaching me. So how's that sound to you? All right? Okay. And so the title of the message today is simply Forgiveness, and we begin in Matthew chapter 18. Here we go. Verse 21, then Peter came to Jesus and said, Lord, how many times must I forgive my fellow man when he sins against me? Up to seven times? Now, friends, there was a problem here with Peter's question. And the problem is that his question implied that at some point, whether it was three times or seven times or 100 times, whatever, that it becomes okay for us to refuse to forgive another person. And so Jesus immediately answered Peter and said, Peter, I tell you, not up to seven times, but up to 70 times seven. Now, friends, Jesus did not mean that when somebody sins against you for the 491st time, you don't have to forgive them. What he meant is that as followers of Christ, our forgiveness of other people is to be limitless, without limit. And then to drive this point home, Jesus tells Peter a story. We know it today as the parable of the unmerciful servant, and it unfolds in three scenes, kind of like a play. And so let's dig in. Here we go. Scene number one, verse 23. The kingdom of heaven, Jesus said, is like, and I want to stop there a moment and point out to you that this parable is about how life is to be lived in the kingdom of heaven. And as we've been saying for the last few weeks, a person gets into the kingdom of heaven, a person becomes a child of God only by placing their faith and their trust in the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. But if you are here and you are a follower of Jesus Christ, then the point of this is to say that this parable, this truth, this story is expressly for you and for me. So, here we go. The kingdom of heaven is like a king who wished to settle accounts with his servants. And as he began to do this, a man who owed him 10,000 talents was brought to him. Now, 10,000 talents is equal today to about $5 billion, with a B, dollars. The point is that this was an utterly unpayable amount of money. But since the man did not have the means to repay the debt, the king ordered that he be sold into slavery along with his wife and his children and all that he owned. Then the servant fell on his knees and said, please have patience with me and I will pay you everything. Then the king felt compassion for him and canceled the entire debt and set him free. So, scene number one ends with the king showing this first servant unspeakable, unlimited forgiveness. Scene two. But when that servant went out, he encountered a fellow servant who owed him 100 denarii. This was about $7,500. And compared to $5 billion, what this second servant owed him, $7,500, was bupkis. You know what bupkis is? Bupkis is Yiddish for nothing. Well, anyway, it was bupkis compared to $5 billion. And then the fellow servant fell on his knees and said, please have patience with me, and I will pay you everything. Does that sound familiar? Yeah, it's what the first servant just said to the king a minute ago. But the first servant refused to listen. Instead, he had the man thrown into prison until he could pay all the debt. And so, scene number two ends with the servant who had received infinite forgiveness, refusing to show even the smallest forgiveness to another person. Scene three. And when the other servants saw what had happened, they were deeply saddened. And they went and told the king all that had taken place. Then the king called the first servant in and said, you wicked servant, I canceled all your debt simply because you begged me to. Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant? Say the next seven words with me. Just as I had mercy on you. Yeah. The king says, look, I forgave you this massive debt, so how dare you refuse to show that same forgiveness to someone who owes you peanuts compared to what you owed me? Friends, this is the salient point of Jesus' story. Then in anger, the king turned to the first servant and turned him over to the jailers to be tortured until he should pay back all that he owed. Now, let's see if we can identify the actors in Jesus' story. How about the king? Who do you think he is? Who do you think? Yeah, he's God. Sure. And number two, how about the man who owed the king $5 billion? Who do you think that is? That's you and me. As followers of Christ, we owed God a sin debt that we could never, never, ever repay. Psalm 130 says, if you, Lord, should keep a record of sins, who could stand? Who could stand? Nobody, right? And yet in his awesome mercy, God didn't just reduce our debt. God totally canceled our debt. God totally forgave our debt, just like the king did in the parable. Colossians chapter 2 says, when we were dead in our sins, God forgave us for how much? All our sins. And what? Canceled the debt against us, taking it out of the way by nailing it where? To the cross. You know, folks, the Bible says that as far as God is concerned, every person in the world falls into one of two categories. Category number one is those whose sins are nailed to the cross. And category number two is those whose sins are not. They are still nailed to you. Now, dear friend, you do not want to go out of this life in category number two. Because in category number two, those people in eternity will bear personally the full brunt of God's wrath and God's judgment for their sin. They'll be separated from God for all eternity. They will be tormented in hell for all eternity. This is what the Bible says. But I've got good news for you. And the good news is, if you walked in here today in category number two with your sins nailed to you, you can walk out of here today with your sins nailed to the cross and off of you. turn your life over to Jesus Christ and trust what he did on the cross for you as your payment for sin. And as a result, he will take your sins and unnail them from you and nail them instead to the cross. Amen? And guess what? When sins are nailed to the cross, God throws away the crowbar, folks. There is no sin that's ever been nailed to the cross for anybody that is ever coming off the cross for all of eternity. Praise God for that. I know where my sin is. It's nailed to the cross. Praise God. Now, how about actor number three in the story? Remember, actor number three was the guy who owed the first servant $7,500. Who's that? Well, that's our fellow men and women all around us. These are our friends, our co-workers, our relatives, our neighbors, our roommates, our schoolmates, our husbands, our wives, our children, our fiancés, our boyfriends, our girlfriends. These are the people who in this life sin against us, hurt us, but whose offenses against us are puny. They are minor compared to our offenses against God. Okay, so now that we've identified the actors in Jesus' parable, friends, it's pretty much impossible to miss the point. But just in case you did, let me remind you the point. The point is that as reborn believers in Jesus Christ, you and I have no right ever to refuse to forgive anybody for anything in light of how much God has forgiven us. You got it? You got it? Okay, that's the point. And now it's time to ask our most important question. But just before we do, let me make sure you understand one thing, and that is that just because you and I forgive someone on a personal level does not obviate their being held accountable for criminal or illegal behavior. I am not saying that if we forgive someone on the personal level, if they've done something criminal or illegal, that they don't need to be held accountable for it. We are not talking here about jurisprudence. We are talking here about forgiveness on a personal level. Does everybody understand that? Okay. Now, it's time for us to ask our most important question. So, are we ready? Yes. All right. Here we go now. Come on. One, two, three. Ah, sweet. You say, Lon, that's a great story. Great truth. What difference does that make to me? Ah, it's very simple, my friends. What it means to you and me is that God expects forgiven people to forgive. God expects pardoned people to pardon. God expects the recipients of mercy to show mercy. And as far as God is concerned, this is not optional. It is mandatory. Ephesians, listen to the scripture of chapter 4. Says, forgive one another just as in Christ God forgave you. Colossians chapter 3 says, forgive others just as the Lord forgave you. And exactly how did the Lord forgive us? Well, he forgave us freely, and he forgave us fully, and he forgave us undeservedly, and he forgave us perfectly. And what's more, he continues to forgive us like this over and over and over and over. And God says, this is how you and I, as followers of Christ, are to forgive. And this is how God's been dealing with my heart, friends. He's been saying to me, hey, Lon, I don't care how badly this person's hurt you or people you love, and I don't care how badly this person has sinned against you. Lon, you have done far worse. And yet I forgave you for all of that. and I keep on forgiving you for the stuff you do, which is precisely what I expect you to do for this other person. And Lon, I don't want excuses. And Lon, I don't want alibis. And Lon, I don't want explanations. And Lon, I don't want self-justifications. I just want obedience. That's all I want. Now, you know, over the years, God has enabled me to forgive some people who've hurt me that I didn't ever think I'd be able to forgive. The classic example is my mother. And I can still remember when I was a young pastor at this church, and God convicted me that I needed to obey him and forgive my mother, or my ministry was never going anywhere. And I remember getting on my knees in my study, like it was last night, I remember it, and saying, "Oh God, I hate my mother. I just don't dislike her. I hate her. And I don't think I can do this. But Lord, if this is what you're asking me to do, I must seek to obey. So God, I'm going to stay on my knees and I'm going to keep praying and I'm going to keep asking for you to give me the ability to do this until you do it. I'm going to be like Jacob who held on to the angel until you give me the power to forgive my mother." And you say, "How long did that take?" 2 years. You say, "Are you kidding?" No, I really hated her. It took 2 years. But I'll tell you what, by the end of those 2 years, my hatred had turned to compassion and to pity. And I was able to forgive my mom and hug her and kiss her for the first time in 40 years. You say, "How did God do that for you?" I don't know. And I don't care. It doesn't matter how he did it. What matters is that he did it. And when my mother passed away, she accepted Christ just before she died. And my brother led her to Christ. But when she passed away, we were friends. We had nothing between us anymore. It was all ancient history, folks. Now let me tell you something. If you will get on your face before God, and you will say to God, like I did, "Lord, I have an honest desire to obey you, and I have an honest desire to forgive even the worst perpetrators of hurt in my life, and I'm going to ask you for the power to do that, and I am not going to give up, and I am not going to let go of you until you give me that power to obey you," I'm here to tell you, my friend, you will get it. Because God will always give his people the power to obey him. Do you understand me? Are you with me? You say, "Lon, I don't believe it." Try it. Try it. Now let me say in closing that forgiving a person, and this is important, does not mean going back into a destructive relationship with that person. If a business partner cheated you, forgiving that person doesn't mean going back into business with them. If your husband physically abused you over and over, then forgiving your husband doesn't mean moving back in with him. And if a friend betrayed you, forgiving that person doesn't mean reestablishing a close friendship with that person. What forgiveness means, listen, is being able by God's supernatural power to declare their hurts that were done to you ancient history. And what do I mean by that? Well, ancient history is the ability to say, "What you did to me back then was not okay, but because of the work of Christ in my life, it's okay now. It wasn't okay back then. It was wrong what you did to me. But because of Jesus' work in my heart, I've forgiven you, and it's okay now." Declaring their hurts against you as ancient history means that you're able to move on with your life, liberated from bitterness, liberated from anger, liberated from malice and ill will. It's like Romans 12:18 says, as much as it lies with you, you can't control what they do, but as much as it lies with you, be at peace with all men and women. No malice, no bitterness, no hatred, no ill will, no revenge, peace. It's okay now. Now, I have to tell you in closing that I today am not at peace with all men, but I'm trying to get there. You say, as a pastor, that's not good. You should be at peace with all men. Well, as a pastor, may I say, I'm sorry. That's the way it really is. I'm just a human being like you. But let me tell you what I am. I am committed. I'm going to get there. I'm committed to stay on my knees, and I'm committed to pray about it, and I am committed to keep staying there until God gives me the power that I can say from my heart, okay, ancient history, I'm at peace with you. And friends, I want to challenge you to do the very same thing, to join me with the people in your life that if you are really honest, you have to admit, you cannot say I'm at peace with that person. I'm still holding something against him. I want to challenge you and me. God will get us there if we want to get there. And we want to get there. Because not only does that mean obeying God, but it means setting you free from the worst prison in the world. The prison of bitterness, hatred, malice, anger, revenge, and ill will towards another person. That's the worst bondage in the world, folks. Jesus said, if the Son of Man sets you free, you shall be free indeed. You ask God for the power to do that, and he will give it to you. I promise. Let's pray. And with our heads bowed and our eyes closed, I'd like you to take a moment, and I'd like you to think, ask God to help you think of the people that if you're really honest, you're not at peace with. And then I want you right now to tell God, God, I am willing to forgive them. I'm not sure I can right now, but I'm willing to obey you and forgive them if you'll just give me the power. And I'm going to keep hanging on to you, God, till you do it. Oh, dear Jesus. You know, this is a world where we get hurt. And every time I think I'm just about where I can say I'm at peace with all men and women, somebody else hurts me, and I got to go back and start all over again, Lord. But that's okay, because that's the way life is. Give us a passion to work hard to be able to obey you and say, as much as it lies with me, I've declared it all ancient history by the power of Christ in my life. These people we've prayed about today, Lord, help us to have the power to forgive. And we pray this in confidence, because we know you are a mighty God, and that we will never ask for the power to obey you, but that you will give it to us. So answer our prayers, Lord. Liberate us from our bondage. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. And God's people said,
you've been listening to So What with Dr. Lon Solomon. So What is an outreach of Lon Solomon Ministries. To listen to today's message or for more information, visit our website, lonsolomonministries.org. Thank you for your support. If you would like to contact us, please visit our website or call us at 866-788-7770. We hope you will join us next time when Lon seeks to answer one of life's most important questions, so what?